listening to Stranger Than. This is McGill Daily and CKUT collaboration. The words you're about to hear were written by Catherine Jeffrey.
My first couple nights in the hilly mountainous city of La Paz were haunting. There was nothing like being drunk and staring up at the blue moon through the clouds and out to the peaks surrounding the city. Back then, Bolivia, the landlocked South American country that nobody I talked to had heard of, was all but in turmoil. The politics stirring, the youth translucent, the hurried and soft-spoken Spanish flowing from the streets like blood. The shared house I stayed at was filled with backpackers and people trying to escape their lives, lost and somewhat penniless. Our beds were comfortable and clean enough, the bathroom smelled like chemicals, and our living room was always filled with people at 5 o'clock in the morning coming down from a night on cocaine. This was South America. Sometimes corrupt, often abused, and always rich with the taste of real, graceful, courageous life. I'd left the bar down the block one night to stare at the sky, sitting on the steps outside my room. The house's hallways were outside, wrapping around it so that the whole building seemed to be like a veranda with individual rooms. The tiled walkway that my room led out to wrapped around to the washroom so you could see straight through the door at anyone brushing their teeth or washing their face and hands. It sounds kind of stupid, but I liked that. I liked the profile image of people at the sink going about their daily routines when we are all in a place right now where every day was so up in the air. Half of the time, you were breathless from the high altitude. The other half, you were just breathless because you were existing in this city. I was drunk on beer and rum and cokes, which made the starry sky spin. At the moment I turned my head back down to face reality, a boy walked out of the washroom. I gave him the half nod that everyone in the house gave each other in those days, and he nodded back. He was wearing worn through jeans, pulled up high on his hips, and a white cotton t-shirt. It was what I pictured boys to wear 20 years ago when grunge films were starting to come out and angst might still have been in style. This is probably false. He was probably a product of some unknown environment in which he grew up. Nonetheless, I told him I liked his pants, and he came and sat down beside me on the stairs, smoking. The house was big and always bustling. People were always coming and going. I had seen him around, but I didn't know him, yet he sat on the steps with me until he finished his cigarette, in silence. Maybe he didn't speak English, and maybe he hadn't actually understood me, and was waiting for further explanation in Spanish or French. I didn't offer him any. When he was finished the cigarette, he put it out and walked down the steps to the courtyard. I kept sitting on those steps for a while, wondering why I'd come to this city, this country, this continent in the first place, when really I wanted to be somewhere I knew and recognized everyone's face in. His eyes had been glowing, a spell cast on the rough city, another person here just wandering through the continent. He was either going north or south, and I never did end up knowing which way. Maybe he'd be in Peru in 2 days from now, or go down to Argentina. His looks offered no hint as to where he was from. He could have been from anywhere in the world. Maybe he was one of the few that were running from something, and so he'd ended up here. Maybe he was another traveler. I never saw him again, and I left the country a few days later to go to Patagonia. In my memory, he came to be the symbol of transience. Nameless, unknowable, just another passerby like everyone else. We were all here, passing through, and soon we'd all be gone, moving to different places. In the end, traveling is like trying to hold a fistful of sand while swimming in the ocean.